Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Can I interest you in a hot Jameis for 2025? Can I get you there? That tone's starting to change his tune. I can already tell you're
what?
Not excited by
it. Wait, what do you
mean? I have a look on your face. You're like, you know what, Ken? I've had 3 hours to think about
well,
it.
I'm
excited.
I think it's pretty clear. Like, the people last night said, you got, like you alluded to this morning, first thing you said, oh, I really needed 150 radio guys to tell me that we got the full Jameis Winston experience. It was start number 85 last night. I don't think there's anybody that needs to question anymore what you're going to get out of Jameis, for good and for bad. And there was a lot of good. My God, there was so much good last night. It was incredible. The guy is showing you that this offense, even if it's one-dimensional, can work, can operate. They went up against a defense, and I know they have some injuries, everybody does. They went up against a defense last night that had been very, very good over this surge and this you know, what, last 8 weeks for the Denver Broncos? And they shredded them. They made them look so bad.
Yeah.
So that's some indications that, all right, you got elevated quarterback play now. The receivers have completely turned into something different. So much so that it's you're wondering if it's validating some of the moves made by the front office, which we were questioning before.
I think this opens up a conversation about Andrew Berry. I don't know if I'm going to have it today. We only got so much time left, but I think it opens up a conversation again. Guys, he's staying. I'm looking for anything positive with him. Because right now, I mean...
And you know about the leadership stuff, too. You know that he actually takes ownership over his mistakes. It's a breath of fresh air.
You talk about Jameis?
Jameis,
yeah. Oh, okay, yeah, Jameis.
You have somebody that could communicate to the fans that now at this stage, and I know he had problems in college and everything with behavior, but now someone you could actually put on a poster if you really wanted to and not
told
feel bad
you, man,
about
last
it.
Last Tuesday, we were at Rodney's turkey giveaway, and people were
amazing.
Eating out of his hand.
It was amazing.
Unbelievable.
He was serving turkey out of his ham?
No, he wasn't serving
people
turkey.
People would
Shut
have
up.
Done it, and they would have poured gravy on it and still eaten it.
They would have eaten it. They would have eaten it.
It would have been weird.
No.
He could have ran for mayor that day and might have won in Maple Heights. Everybody loved him. Everybody loved him. Kissing babies, taking pictures. I mean, seriously, his personality is infectious. You can see why it's like, yeah, you can get behind this guy. There's some leadership qualities here that not everybody has. That there is some. It's you can't, like, I know I've met some smooth talkers in my day. And it's just, that's natural. That's just, you're born with it or you're not. And he was born with it. And it's not even a smooth talk. Like, I believe it when he says it. I believe everything he says when he says it.
Yeah, I didn't
There's
realize
a likability that he has.
At first, I'm like, oh, is this just going to be an all-talk situation? And as he's been here week after week, like, you could see, and his teammates vouch for it, his coaches vouch for it, that it's 100% genuine.
Like, nope, they like him, and the more I get to know of him, I like him, and there's just a lot to like about Jameis Winston. It's just all there is to it, except for the turnovers. The turnovers are killers. And I think that some of this stuff, while this is entertaining right now and some of this stuff is fun, it won't be fun, and this is where I have to warn people, it ain't going to be fun in September. Like, this is where I have to, it's not changed my stance on, as of right now, you're drafting eighth. It has not changed my stance on what I'm doing in the draft. And I don't think it will. Because you got your good Jameis, bad Jameis, great Jameis, terrible Jameis. And you get them all in a game. So that's not going to change it. Because right now, like, hey, like, at least they had fun and all this stuff. Like, the fans, not the players. But at least the fans are having some fun. And that's all great. This ain't going to be fun in September if that type of thing happens. If they go out there and he throws for 455,000 yards, it seemed last night, and they lose that game, they ain't going to be fun. Especially if you ain't got a backup plan. Or your backup plan is the albatross, according to Troy Aikman.
Oh, is that what he said last night?
He called Deshaun Watson the albatross. That's what Troy Aikman said.
But he only said that once, right?
No, he actually said it twice. He went in on
it. It's actually a running theme of the entire broadcast.
Well, survey says.
Kevin Stefanski is an outstanding football coach, and he's proven that. Two-time coach of the year. What he did to that group last year to get them in the postseason, they started four quarterbacks. They were decimated with injuries, and I get it. You know, this year hasn't been what people thought coming in, but the albatross is Deshaun Watson. If you go to Jameis Winston earlier in the year, does this look different? Because I would say the defensive struggles, in at least a small part, have had to do with how inept the offense has been moving the football. I think it's affected the defensive play as well.
How many guys got up in their living room and went, how many guys texting their buddies?
But you made it sound
how many of you guys texted your buddies when he said both them things?
But you made it sound like that was all Troy Aikman was talking about. I mean, come on.
Back to it. It just can't help but wonder what this year might have looked like for Cleveland if Jameis had taken over from the start, or at least much sooner than when he did. I know Deshaun Watson goes down with a torn Achilles, but it had been a real struggle offensively watching him.
Audio courtesy ESPN, both clips. Yeah, that's what Troy Aikman made it out to be. So you can tell me what you want to about DTR. He's a fine young man. I'm not really enthralled by him. Whatever. We can have that conversation.
I just haven't seen enough.
I'm just drafting a guy because my backup plan, like, and I'm not making him a backup plan. I'm making him the heir apparent. But I can't just go into the season with Jameis Winston and my backup plan is the $230 million albatross, as Troy Aikman says. Because one thing for Kenny Carmen to say it on the radio in Cleveland, it's another thing for Troy Aikman to say it on a national broadcast and say it a couple of times.
By the way, you saw how matter-of-fact Troy was talking about that. And remember,
because Troy Aikman ain't putting him back out there.
But what you see, what you hear from the national broadcast at the end of a week, remember, they get so much more exposure to the actual team. They get so much more access. Troy Aikman doesn't just fly into town, do the game, and leave. There are guys that do that. They don't. They're in meetings. They talk to the coaches. They talk to the staff. They have that access. For him to just nonchalantly go on the broadcast and make that kind of a theme. Hey, look at before and after. And then him use the term albatross. Do you think he's just making that up, conjuring it up out of thin air? Do you think, Kenny, he just came into Denver and was like, I'm going to say this out of nowhere? Or do you think he is getting that vibe from more than just his own mind?
He knows a lot of people in the NFL. He's telling you what a lot of people in the NFL think of their quarterback situation. Whether that, I can't accuse the Browns themselves of saying that in production meetings, for crying out loud, but damn, he knows what a lot of people are saying.
So where do you think he's getting the word albatross from?
I wouldn't be surprised.
From us? Because I say it a lot.
Being able to talk to people around the Browns. You know, they do this. They do this when they do these
You're
games.
Not giving me an answer.
I don't think anybody's going to come out and say it publicly.
You don't have to pinpoint it, but give me your top three.
Jerry Judy number one. Elijah Moore, number two. Whoa. Kevin Stefanski, number three.
Whoa. Whoa, wait,
you know,
a
what?
Minute.
Bonus.
Wait,
can
a
I
minute.
Do a bonus? Ken Dorsey, number four.
No, wait.
I mean, we're almost going to fire Gary Ken Moore? Dorsey 3 weeks ago.
All right. Who's calling him an albatross with the Browns? Who's
Where
most
is
likely?
He getting the albatross from?
Number three. Jerry Jeudy.
That low.
He threw his helmet. He threw his
yes,
helmet.
Yes, he did.
Ah, because I got a different.
You remember
Lyman's going to get mad at me here in about two moves. Number two, Kevin Stefanski. He already knows where I'm going. Number one, Amari Cooper. Champions pose, everybody.
Amari Cooper, former Dallas
yeah.
Cowboy.
Yeah.
Troy Aikman, former Dallas Cowboy.
Yeah, there you go. That's a brotherhood, man.
Pepe Sylvia.
Does he have a rat?
So, there you go. There you be. So yeah, getting back to the nature at hand here. There's no way you can go into the situation with him. You could try to make him your primary backup if you didn't like any of these quarterbacks coming out that much. But I happen to like one. But you know what? I can't make him fall to me. So if he doesn't fall to me, maybe I'd reevaluate the situation. Probably not, though. Probably not.
Well, you didn't move anywhere in the draft last night by losing.
It's still at number eight.
Yeah.
Short week at Pittsburgh.
They're on. They imagine they're on CBS then at Pittsburgh on Sunday. Let's see. I want to know what the other color analysts make it out to be. I want to know what the. I don't know what the broadcast team is for that one. It might be Spiro Dinas and Adam Archuleta.
They are on CBS.
So, yeah, usually, I mean, you got Kansas City at home. That's right. I mean, usually the away team being an AFC team, there's going to be probably a lot of CBS.
Does an Eagle have any other kids?
He has no Eagle. And then he has, I don't know of any other Eagles that he has. But, yeah, you're going to find some definite, if this becomes a thing, guys are around him around the league. And then we can only dance around the issue so much. Okay, guys are telling him that in the building. Troutman didn't just make it up out of thin air. I mean, maybe he did. I just don't think he would. 216-474-0092. Let me get the Fred on the road. He's next Freddy. Up on the fan. Hello. Fred.
Yo.
All right. Freddy. We got you, Fred.
State of emergency in Freddy's car.
Oh, my goodness. Fred, put on your seatbelt for the love of God.
Every time. Last time it was the gas station.
See, I don't know about the gas station. Go ahead, Fred.
No, I was on the phone call with you guys, and I had to get off.
I'll be dipped. Go ahead, Fred.
All right. Hey, real quick, three things. I say we keep Deshaun Watson. I mean, not Watson. We keep Winston, and we just see what we got, man, and then try to move pieces around that need to be replaced. I don't care if it's the front office, players, or whatnot. We get rid of them. The guy comes with energy. In a different type of mindset. And I think that no matter what, we know it's Jameis Winston, right? But these younger guys, they want to play with that type of energy, right? You can see the difference compared to when Watson was out there. And I just want somebody to go back and look and see what's the most points that we put up with Watson out there. Because it seemed like with backups, we put up a lot of points. So I'm wondering – it looked like there was a disconnect probably in the beginning with Watson. Like, they were seeing him practice, and I don't think they was too thrilled about this season. I don't think nobody was. And I just think that it was a higher-up move. Like, we got to get this – we got to play him, but yeah. We really don't want to play him. And I
you
think
mean
everybody
this,
knew
this
that
last,
going in.
This last season they got to play him, but they don't really know if they're going to play him, if they don't want to play him, you mean? Is that
yeah,
what you're saying?
Yeah, this year, from practice going into this season, I believe, and going to that TV show, I think they need to show it. They need to show if it was some kind of disconnect, because I, again, believe that somewhere in there, they knew what they was getting. Deshaun was coming out, and he was going to be slinging that ball in the dirt. They knew his energy wasn't there. They knew he ain't had that bravado about himself, and they was just like, ah, here we go. We coming off of a high win from last year with a backup, and we got 230-something M's that can't even hit a target if he wanted to. So they wasn't too thrilled about it. Granted, we get injuries and all of that started piling up. But look at – you can tell because look at the energy that one person came in with. Look at when Flacco came in. Look at the energy. Look at when Jameis come in. Look at the energy.
Has it ever been this stark? And I know we don't pay attention to other teams like we do the Browns, Fred. And I thank you very much for the call, because I think you hit on a great point. And thank you very much for making it. Have we ever seen this stark of a contrast between the energy and a backup and the other ones across the league? I mean, Tyrod Taylor to Baker Mayfield did not have that type of change in energy. They liked Tyrod Taylor. Baker was just going to be the starting quarterback eventually, and then he took off, and he's the better quarterback. But they didn't have that type of energy here. This seems to be just like like they release their collar, and all that steam comes out from underneath, and they can play again. By the way, who's going to be on the call?
Yeah, you said you wanted to see what the other guys are saying about him. Yeah. It's Jim Nance and Tony Romo this week.
It's Sunday.
Yes. I am on CBS Sports PR right now.
1 o'clock?
Yeah, 23 hours ago. 1 o'clock.
So they must not have the doubleheader.
No.
Oh.
Their 4:05 game is Seattle at Arizona. Well, and Ian and Charles Davis are on that one.
Now, I know that I do believe that Tony Romo believes that the Browns and Bengals play in the same stadium. But Jim Nance has a home here, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
So, well, you know, he gets the truth. It'll be a fun Sunday. Kickoff, 1 o'clock. You got to be here for it. Because there's other things, not just the game.
It's the game within the game.
Speaking of the game next Sunday, the time for getting mad if things were to go poorly is next Monday. Why didn't you stop him? Why didn't you do anything? And then I saw it in slow motion. I couldn't really stop him. He was falling away. But then I thought, no, all the guys on the sideline are pointing at them saying, no, go do something. Okay, we have audio of this explanation. All right, let's play. Let's see what he says.
When he jumped up and got it, I didn't know if my hand touched him. Yeah. So that was what had me like, did I touch him, did I not? And then my coach is like, touch him again. So it was just, I got to do a better job.
I really like Elijah Moore.
Can we give Jerry Jeudy credit for, with the game clearly over, chasing down on that final interception in the end zone?
Yeah.
Does he do it in 31 other NFL stadiums?
Right.
Or 30 other
NFL stadiums? Well, the book on him was that he was not a guy that would play to the whistle.
Yeah, but I mean, he said last week, I want to go kick their ass. Like, he's had this one circled for a long time.
I got to, how is he? He's got to be getting close to 1,000 now, right?
Yeah.
235.
He's the fifth. He's got the fifth most yards in the league, I think, right now.
Good for him, man. All right, that's a feather in the cap for Andrew, even though it's a trade. It's not a draft pick. It's a trade. But, hey, you got a third-round pick for Amari Cooper. Let's see what you do with that, because he's going to be in charge yet again next year, and we'll talk about that coming up tomorrow. Should I be mad today? There's a lot of people who feel that I've let them down. I'm not fire and brimstone. I'm not mad. I said before on the show, I can get you very depressed if I wanted to right now. I could play all those hits and get you very depressed during the holiday season right now. I don't want to do that.
Okay, let's go through it. Let's go through it.
Am I not allowed to say I'm entertained?
Yeah, let's
do it. Is that a soft take?
People said it's losers.
I'm a loser.
Yeah, it's that you're looking for moral victories. I mean, if we were to go through the things to be mad about, okay, on offense, you're mad at Jameis. How mad at Jameis could you possibly be? Like, what other options did you have other than Jameis?
It is
we
what
know
it
what
is.
Jameis is.
Yes.
And then he gave you one of the more electrifying nights in Browns fandom, right? The history of Browns fandom?
Yeah.
And yes, he threw the pick sixes.
He threw six touchdowns.
He's given you two electrifying nights in a row.
Right. That's the other thing. And now you have faith in Jerry Jeudy. Now you have some faith in Elijah Moore.
That's true.
So,
yeah.
So how many targets were there for Njoku last night?
Said Tillman before the concussion. Right. David Njoku again with some of the catches.
He had 17 targets.
Mike Njoku was making a couple of plays after terrible injuries.
You had no running game. So you're one-dimensional. He drops back over 60 times. Two interceptions? Well, three, the last one. I mean, you know, whatever. But I'll say
we got to count them.
Fine, count them. I mean, you know, whatever. But that happens, and you're like, I think that's pretty good. Like, I think Joe Burrow goes back and throws 60 times. Now, is he going to throw pick sixes? Okay, there's the difference. But,
well, we're not.
Yeah, he did it.
Blinds.com Cyber Monday sales event is happening now. Get some of the best deals of the season with up to 50% off site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Avoid the home renovation overwhelm.
swapping out old blinds for custom window coverings delivers big results, and Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. Skip the long lines or waiting around at home all day just to get a quote. With Blinds.com, shopping online doesn't mean sacrificing quality, style, or service. A Blinds.com design expert can help you make the perfect selection. We can even handle everything from measure to install. Get your whole home installed for one low cost. With over 25 million windows covered, Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. Shop Blinds.com Cyber Monday sales event today for some of the best deals of the season. Save up to 50% site-wide, plus premium doorbusters and a free professional measure. Up to 50% off at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's better over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com.
Imagine uncovering the secrets that others missed. A hidden clue, silent witness, a twist that changes everything. I'm Carter Roy, host of Murder True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Join me every Tuesday as we dive into a famous solved or unsolved murder case. Follow and listen to Murder True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Against the Texans in the playoffs, I saw it.
We're not making him out to be Joe Burrow. We're making him out to be Jameis Winston.
Yeah. So I'm not mad. I'm not mad at Jameis. Okay, that's number one. Am I supposed to be mad at Nick Chubb for... Not resembling himself yet.
Nick Chubb can kick over my trash cans and I'll blame it on myself.
So we're not mad at him. We just went through all... By the way, offensive line and pass protection held their own. For there to only be three sacks last night... Now, part of that's Jameis. Jameis knows how to move in and out of the pocket. The guy we
didn't. You were nice about it when it came to John Greco. And I'll have to take a look at the... I got to check the tape. I didn't think it was as good. Fourth quarter, boy, they really heated it up. I think Vance Joseph just said, you know what?
Well, the hell with it.
I'm going to send everybody, and we'll see if we can force him into a couple of mistakes. And they did that.
And they did.
Yeah.
So, okay, that's the offense. On defense, okay, there's some things to be mad about, and we haven't really dwelled on that because the takeaway was mostly offense. And Jim Schwartz's defense have been, you know, really the strength of this team the last 2 years, obviously. There are some issues there. I mean, there's no doubt that we have a Martin Emerson problem because he goes from being one of the bright spots of the Andrew Berry drafting classes. And this year, he's been like one of the worst ranked corners.
I wish I could give you an answer. I have no answer for it. I'm perplexed. I'm standing there like Ryan Day watching him. I wish I could tell you guys.
So you're mad.
No, I'm not mad. Oh, I'm not shocked. Mad. I don't know what the... I can't be mad. I don't think it's an effort thing. I don't think if he was half-assing it, I'd be mad. I don't think he's half-assing it. I mean, he's been the subject of conversation all year. If Denzel was playing on a 9-3 football team, we'd be talking about him being the best corner in the NFL right now.
Yes.
Or arguing alongside of Patrick Sertan and a couple of others that he's the best cornerback in the NFL right now. But since he's playing on a 3-9 football team, it's a secondary thought. But he's played fantastically. So he's on the other side of Denzel Ward. You have Greg Newsome, who's okay, and I think I'm being nice about that. You got Grant Delvin, who, boy, I thought for a second the lights were going to go out. I was glad he was able to come back. But, you know, I'm making a long answer out of a short answer. He struggled this year. He's not going to go anywhere. I want to see what he does in 2025, MJ Emerson. Okay. But I'm not mad at MJ Emerson.
Now, Dustin Hopkins missed a field goal.
I'm not mad. It wasn't like he was half-assed. I get mad over bad effort. I get mad over bad planning. That's what I get mad about.
Well, the only thing maybe to be mad about is they extended Dustin Hopkins, and now much like there are a bunch of teams where you either have your guy or you don't.
What's his contract?
You don't know that you have your guy right now, a kicker. I would argue the Baltimore Ravens don't know if they have their guy, a kicker, right now.
Are they mad at him? Are they mad at Justin Tucker? Or are they just coming to a realization here? I don't think I get mad. Like, I get mad over bad decisions. Like, the punt and Jalen Darden deciding to not let it go over his head and put it playing his feet at the 10.
What was,
like, I was mad about that. I go, you're a professional. Be a professional. That I'm mad about that because you should know better. But it wasn't, again, their effort was there. They played a good football team. They're 8-5. They played a good football team on the road. You don't win all the games on the road in the NFL. You just put yourself in such a terrible hole to start off this year that Troy Aikman certainly wouldn't shut up about it, and rightfully so. He should have kept talking about it. I'm glad he did. You put yourself in just such a deep hole, you couldn't get out of it. But you played tough last night. That sounds like a loser's lament. But that's what I get mad about. I get mad about professionals half-assing it. I get mad about coaches not having a good plan. I thought that there were some plays that Ken Dorsey, and not just because they worked, I thought that there, I think he did try to commit to the run. I think the run wasn't working, and frankly, yeah, I probably would have bailed out myself. I think I probably would have bailed out myself going, okay, this is how we're going to move the football down the field. This is how we got back into the game and took the lead. I guess we're going to continue to do it this way. Because Jameis had a hot hand, but he can be cooled off very quickly. So there wasn't a lot I was mad about yesterday. And if it's 7-5 versus 7-5, and they lose that game, maybe I'm mad. I understand it. I might be frustrated. I was mad after New Orleans. I was mad after that.
So that's more resignation than it's just a state of affairs. Like you'll admit yesterday didn't. And I know you had to do pregame for the network and everything. Did not have the same feel of a buildup for a big game.
Oh, it just didn't.
Because there were a bunch of people going, "Oh, I forgot we had a game tonight."
Jay downstairs forgot we had a game last night.
Yeah, I had friends that forgot there was a game. Season ticket holders.
You had a 10-day layoff and you had a holiday in between. So yeah, all these things going on.
Feel.
And frankly, I mean the Thanksgiving. Gerard will tell you the Thanksgiving holiday. It could be the worst thing for football players and for a football team. He goes, by the time Christmas comes around, you're either ready for the playoffs and you are laser focused. You don't care about Christmas. Or you are, hey, I'm either playing for a job or we're ready to go home. One of the two. Thanksgiving can poison a football. Gerard will tell you, Thanksgiving can poison a football team.
I can see that.
Like you could be like, hey, we kind of got a chance here. You guys go and have Thanksgiving dinner, and your cousin and your brother and people come into town, and they start getting in your ear about certain things, and all of a sudden you start believing them because you grew up with these people and you love them, and all of a sudden there's problems. Gerard's seen it. Okay, I credit him. I know where he's at. I credit him wholeheartedly with that. I'll listen to him on that. That's a gospel.
Yesterday,
so they came out, they played with their heads on fire yesterday.
They did.
I was fine with it.
And they continue to. That is the one thing. We thought this was going to come off the rails, and that does support that maybe there isn't the dysfunction. Maybe this isn't the everything is doom and gloom. That still doesn't mean they're going to the Super Bowl next year. Like, obviously, there are a lot of issues.
They
on
also
this
have not
team.
Been good going west with Kevin Stefanski.
And
that's probably the best going west that they've had.
Yeah
they went an extra day early, too.
But I think that there's a lot of big picture stuff here that you can get into if you're angry about it. To hear you say that sentence that we're not thinking Super Bowl, all right, why aren't we thinking Super Bowl here? Well, you know where this all goes back to. Okay, who made those decisions? Well, then you're mad about something like that. Okay, I can understand you being frustrated over the big picture of it. But when I say I was entertained by last night, what you said is true. It's resignation. I'm resigned. Should I be mad? 216-474-0092. I've only got a half hour left in the show. We'll get to you. I'm resigned to what the season becomes. I was entertained last night. If that makes me a loser, okay, but I'm looking at a team that's 3-9. I've accepted what they are. I'm trying to figure out who's going to be on my football team for next year because my goal, hey guys, my goal for the next year isn't the Super Bowl. It's to try to approach the playoffs again. And it's probably try to approach the playoffs with a young QB because I want to feel good not necessarily more about 2025. I want to feel really good again about going into 2026. I got to play really long game stuff here because I don't want to go, and this is what I'm afraid of terribly. What did I say about the Bears and Matt Eberflus on Monday? What did I say yesterday? That when were you supposed to make that decision when you brought in Caleb Williams?
For the year.
Okay, well, what am I going to say if we bring in some kid coming into next year? So now I have to make the best of that situation. Now, I think Kevin Stefanski is a better offensive mind. I think he's probably got it more well-organized in Cleveland than they do in Chicago. But, hey, I got to use my own words against myself here if I'm going to do that in the future. So There's a lot of a balancing act that I got to do. But if I'm just going to last night, I'm not mad about last night. I might be mad on Monday morning if they go out there and they look listless in a 1 o'clock game. Because then the lights, the glitz, the glamour, they have been a front-running team in the past. If they go over there to Pittsburgh and I hear freaking Renegade and we're down by 24 in the fourth quarter and TJ Watt and everybody in their denim jackets are having a, well, it's going to be a little bit cold, so I don't know if they're going to wear denim, but you know what, the smokes and icy light can keep them warm. So they're going to have their rock concert and everything like they did the last night of Baker Mayfield in his career with the Cleveland Browns. Yeah, I might come in, I might be a little bit hot on Monday morning. I'm not mad right now. I'm entertained. I'm disappointed in this entire season. And I think you should be too. I think the fans should obviously be disappointed in the season. But I'm not going to go after a fan because they went away and go, hey, you know, I threw for like 450 and four touchdowns and I had some fun. Because I think there's a lot of people going, hey, and secretly, they're probably going, hey, we still have a nice high draft pick and I got entertained by Jameis Winston and I'd bring Jameis Winston back. And Jameis Winston played just well enough to make me think about him for 2025 and just poor enough where he doesn't price himself out of my market.
So it sounds like a perfect fit.
Not bad. Not a bad day at the office. Entertain, put on a good show.
And like I said,
Joe Buck and Troy Aikman didn't make fun of us.
And like I said earlier,
done it before.
Unlike the last guy, you can put Jameis on your posters. You can put him in your ads. You can put him on TV
yes,
to
you
sell
can.
Tickets.
Yes, you can.
I'm curious with the fan base. What they think about this.
And I'll tell you what, I don't mean to cut you off. I frankly believe that you could put Jameis Winston out there as the starting quarterback and take some kid out of the draft and put him up on all the billboards. And I think Jameis Winston and everybody would be understanding what the future is.
I think you're right.
Record that in case that's absolutely not true coming up next fall. What were you going to say
I'm off? I'm with you. I'm with you that I think it's way more palatable. I just don't think people will be delusional about it. Like, even the people that are calling in saying, come on, guys, we know what Jameis is. Well, yeah, we do. We do, but it's going to allow you to at least be a competitive NFL football team. Now, if your thought is, well, it's Super Bowl or bust, well, there's no other path. There's no other avenue to get the Browns into the Super Bowl next year with just some quarterback that's available. That doesn't exist. So I think even those people will come to the realization that, all right, Jameis coming back and maybe draft one, maybe don't. Yeah. Remember, it's not going to be in your court. The ball won't be in your court because if you end up with
the worst one.
Yeah, if you end up with the eighth overall pick, who are you not getting? The number one quarterback. You're just not.
You're not. And I like one guy, and we'll see if we get him. If we don't, then you know, I just because I feel passionate about one guy doesn't mean I feel passionate about any of them, any of the other ones. It's like you could take the wrong guy out of this draft. So I'm going to have a conversation with myself about that, which I have a lot of conversations with myself because, you know, I'm an unstable individual.
Tone, I got a humdinger for you on social media, but first, Mitch, please.
All right, guys, after his team's big win over Miami on Saturday, we have Syracuse coach Fran Brown on the Jim Rome Show yesterday. Coach Brown praising his quarterback Kyle McCord's performance and also taking a shot at McCord's former head coach on the Infinity Sports Network.
You know, I'm really happy for him. I'm happy for his family. So I'm happy that Kyle was able to go and clear his name, come here and show that he's a good quarterback. I got ridiculed for stating that I wanted to send Ryan Day a bottle of champagne, where I wasn't being disrespectful. I was just saying, this guy is the real deal, and you guys let him come here. Like, great, thank you. You know, I still owe him. I should send him some more. I should send him a case, not even a bottle. Excuse my language, but just extremely excited and thankful for Kyle.
Okay. I think I like Syracuse sports more than you do. And you got a master's degree from there. And which is odd because I'm not a fan of the Newhouse School of Journalism just to bother you in some way.
I don't think I am either, by
the
way.
Oh, interesting. Well, I just have a little man complex.
They ask me for more money than Ohio State does. And Ohio State's asking me for money for sports, for education, basically for everything.
Akron asked me for nothing. They don't even want me to come by and watch the basketball games. They asked me for nothing. Actually, no, I take that back. There was one guy who worked there that did. Paul Hammond, nice guy. Arnett, they asked me for nothing. They don't want anything to do with me. I like Syracuse football, always kind of have. I think I weirded out Lima the first time I ever met him when I did the tagline, just talking to myself. It's time to rock the dome. And you were like, how do you know that?
TK99.
He was weirded out by that. And so, as much as I like it, maybe you want to turn down some of the tough talk. I know you got to establish a culture, and he's established a great culture. And I know you got to defend your guys, and he's defending his guys. You're at a program like Ohio State will never be on its ass. It just won't. In the NIL era, now that there is NIL, unless every donor loses every single penny that they have of the big four that they have down there in Columbus, Ohio State's never going to be on their ass. They will never be. I just don't ever see them being Michigan at 7-5. Sorry, I don't ever see them losing five games in a season for the foreseeable future. And until they really strongly change the rules or make them employees or whatever and do something that I really think is unrealistic, you're never going to be that way. Syracuse can be that way next year. And Ryan Day is a guy who loves to punch down. And so I would just be careful at a place like Syracuse that would anybody be surprised? They're 9-3 this year, right? They got that big win against Miami. They're 9-3. Great year. I read Brent Axe's article over in Syracuse's newspaper over the weekend or yesterday. I thought it was great. I thought he was right. Like, hey, you say Syracuse's football's back. Let's wait a couple of years here before we actually say that they're back.
There's absolutely some revisionist history on what's going on with Kyle McCord. Now, Kyle McCord has been a lot of fun to watch. I think he also did he lead the NCAA in interceptions this year?
He's
been a lot of fun. You know, in the old days, Kenny, somebody like Kyle McCord would have the season he had at Ohio State last year, which was good, right? And, you know, when you really think about it, he's driving against what turned out to be the national champion and best team in college football, and he's on the road. He's driving there to beat him, right? So he was, in many ways, like he was in better shape than Will Howard was this year. And in the old days, what would you do? You would just have Kyle McCord and all those offseason reps, and you'd be having him get more and more confident in the offense, and he's your QB this year.
You move on.
But that's not the way it works anymore. Ohio State gets a new quarterback every year now.
But I think
and a lot of teams do, and they have to figure out, is that the best way to go about doing things?
In some ways.
Or is there a way to develop a guy over time? It's not working in Georgia right now. So it is interesting because there's always going to be a new flavor of the month that's available, and I don't think these teams know exactly how to deal with this new world of open transferring.
We also have the college football playoff rankings tonight, so I want to talk about that and what you're talking about coming up in the emerging podcast scene at 10:15 on 92.3 The Fan Extra on the free Odyssey app. I got to read this tweet. Twitter reactions brought to you by Scheibman Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Real Xavier P, and we love the guy, says, so we only want to hold one player accountable for bad play. Hopkins' lack of ability to make easier kicks has us here. Emerson getting toasted weekly has us here. Hopkins cost us points at versus Vegas, Denver, and at the end, it changed the end of the games. That's absolutely true. It's absolutely true.
But Watson was a bigger problem than all of it.
I need everybody to understand this.
He's trying to get you to say it's everybody's fault but Deshaun.
And he got me. The only problem is that we didn't fire a bunch of coaches for Dustin Hopkins. We didn't send Joe Flacco away from Cleveland for Dustin Hopkins. If we want to talk about not holding people accountable, they did the ultimate in holding that person not accountable at the end of the season last year. Let's not do revisionist history like we do with so many other quarterbacks, including one in particular. I'm cupping my hands and making this announcement as loud as I possibly can, and maybe even more annoying than I possibly can. Because from what my friend tells me, Alex Van Pelt told the truth, and some people didn't like it, and now he's over in New England. Okay. If we're talking about covering up things, all right.
And that's still nicer than what Troy Aikman said last night.
But the albatross is Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, we looked the other way, buddy. Did we ever?